often of the things we do that are wrong or the good things we fail to do that are right. But sin is that word that describes the whole of the fallenness and brokenness of humanity, and was what required Jesus, the only one, to go to the cross. So where have we left things from yesterday's Maundy Thursday as we ate supper together? In the journey that takes place, Jesus has shared the Passover supper with his friends. And he says, what is said here in Luke 22, "How I have longed to share this Passover supper with you before I suffer." And he was so conscious of the suffering that he was going to endure. And Jesus washed his disciples' feet as Jeff left us. Jed, he's changed his name. Jeff left us reflecting upon, and gave them this mandate: love one another as I have loved you. And the elements of the Passion story are these: the Last Supper, and then our Lord's agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, his arrest following his betrayal by Judas, and then this lengthy examination and condemnation of Jesus by the Jews, which we're going to be thinking about, and the Romans. We see then the trial before Pilate, during which Jesus is sentenced to be whipped with the cat of nine tails, and then his crucifixion. And we are right in the middle of that, in the sense, if we're thinking about what would happen, the eclipse has not yet happened, Jesus is upon the cross. But since we shared that supper with him, we have slept. And Jesus has had an exhausting and a terrible night. It follows Jesus taking his disciples to one of his favourite places, to the Garden of Gethsemane. And somehow we have this wonderfully blissful view of Gethsemane as a bit like an earthly paradise. But it is the place of the olive press. It's the place of pressure. He prays, and again his friends fail him in every way. We can have the second slide, please. What followed from his arrest in terms of human cruelty and unjust punishment beggars belief. Many people have experienced and are currently experiencing such cruelty and punishment unjustly. Some of them it is for reasons of their faith position, others their political views. Many have experienced that, but no one has experienced the depth of the suffering of soul and spirit, I believe, that Christ suffered. Jesus is moved from one official to another, and one torture room to another. Jesus is depicted here in an electric chair, which is still used. I personally believe that we are not called upon ever to take a life, and that actually the fact that Jesus died for our sins and bore our death for us means we are wrong to condemn anybody to that, however wicked they are. The judgment is God's, but he is depicted here. He's moved from one official to another, one torture room to another, even though they may be rooms in palaces and beautiful homes. He's moved. His crucifixion is the ultimate degradation. Here he is aligned with criminals and the despised and mocked constantly. He is on constant naked display until his dead body is finally removed and wrapped in a linen cloth and placed in a new tomb prepared for someone else. In our series on Becoming Human, Giving Glory, we would say that he endures the Garden of Eden experience of naked shame, of fear, of loneliness, and every consequence of the fall. He is fully human. Jesus passes through the hands of Annas, the high priest, for initial processing, and on to Caiaphas, his son-in-law. Please note the dynastic connections. He experiences a mock trial before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, before being taken before Pilate, who sends him before Herod, who questions him and returns him to his new friend, Pilate. Jesus is offered before a crowd who are called upon by Pilate to choose between the infamous insurrectionist, Barabbas, and the local hero and prophet, Jesus of Nazareth. And the crowd who have turned from their openness on Palm Sunday choose to set Barabbas free and call for the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth. And although Pilate finds him not guilty of any of the crimes or sins that he is accused of, and actually wants to release him after a degrading flogging, the Sanhedrin have swayed the crowd. They want Jesus extinguished and wiped off the face of the earth, and this is what they attempt to do. He is a threat to their power, to their control, and their dealings with the Romans. So Pilate condemns Jesus. He alone had the power and the responsibility to make that judgment. So Jesus is handed to the Roman soldiers with their distinctive barbaric barrack room torture and unkindness. And all this is happening while we slept. Forgive me if you were awake. You may have been in the watches of the night reflecting on some of this. In the same way that it would be too simple to leap a full week from the triumph of Palm Sunday that we celebrated last week to the joy of Resurrection Sunday, so too it would be negligent to jump from the togetherness of the last Passover supper to the crucifixion of Jesus. Not to contemplate that what Jesus endured at the hands of human beings is a failure. A failure not just to understand the depth of Christ's suffering for us, even before he was nailed to the cross, but a failure to understand the depth of his love for us. But it is also a failure to understand the terrible fallenness and depravity of human beings. For we see here not just the best of Jesus, but the total depravity of humanity. We have failed so often, I have failed so often, to understand the full significance of the Lord's love, the full significance of his suffering, or the total depravity of humanity that did this and has repeatedly done it. And we cannot celebrate the elevation, the rising of humanity through the work of Christ until we appreciate how low humanity has fallen. Sometimes we can't bear to face it. I can't bear to face it. So I like to think, you know, we're getting better and there's these good things, and then something happens and you think, no, nothing's changed. And we surely must align ourselves with those who have not just sought to silence Jesus, but also to abuse him, if it is by neglect or emotional abuse, by ignoring his love for us. Jesus did not just endure the cross. He endured the indignities of torture on a par with what internees of the untried detainees of Guantanamo Bay prison endured. And if you read about what they endured, and for all we know are still enduring, we understand how serious it was. It is still open. I would fear that it may continue to grow in size. To watch in prayer with Jesus through the night of the Passion, suffering at the hands of our human race, is to reach the point of longing and asking God to release him from this apparent pointless suffering. As we dwell upon it, we come to the point where we simply ask the Father to take his life. But he did not give up. He did not give up his spirit, his life, until it was finished. He hung in there, literally hung in there. So in the reading to the Hebrews, Jesus did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy, and we are his joy, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying, and he is now seated at the right-hand side of God's throne. He sits upon a throne, but bears the scars. A whole night of torture and abuse preceded the crucifixion. Like the disciples, most of us have slept through his suffering. Perhaps we've woken to pray, to reflect on the scriptures. Or like Peter, we follow at a distance and withdraw. Jesus' second trial before Pilate happened about 8 a.m. in the morning. And according to Mark 15, 25, after the agonizing walk to Golgotha, the crucifixion took place at 9 o'clock. The eclipse of the sun took place at noon, and Jesus surrendered his life at about 3 p.m. My last thought. If we see a puddle of rain, and we're not a kid in our welly boots and want to stomp our way through it, if we see a puddle of rain, we can leap over it to avoid getting our feet wet. If we see a road accident or a crash on the road, we'll be diverted around it. And if there was another way for Jesus to rescue us, the Father would have enabled him to take it and not go through it. But Jesus had to drink this cup of suffering. And for us, as we grow in faith, to fully appreciate the love and the sacrifice of Jesus, you and I can't leap from Palm Sunday to Resurrection Sunday. We can't leap across. We've got to go through. We cannot leap a week as if it were a puddle, a nothing. To appreciate Jesus, we need to wake up and consider and contemplate what hatred he went through at the hands of human beings. That's what the scripture tells us to do. Hatred. Hatred. From Gethsemane arrest through a night of abuse and injustice, he was condemned to death by crucifixion. The last slide, please. His naked body was torn from the cross, wrapped in a linen cloth and laid in a borrowed tomb before sunset and the Sabbath. A wonderful act of kindness, which as Christians we perpetuate by the way we treat our dead with respect and love, because we are concerned about the body as well as the soul and the spirit. His naked body was torn from the cross, wrapped in a linen cloth, and laid in a borrowed tomb before sunset and the Sabbath. And Saturday is truly what we would call a tomb day, a day to reflect Christ in the tomb, his body within the tomb. He'd released his spirit and was in many ways getting up to many things, but his body was in the tomb. And this is for us to reflect. So I'd like us just to take a couple of minutes as we look at this slide. just to remember that he was placed in the tomb and the stone was rolled in front of it. The tomb was sealed later in the day and a guard placed upon it, because the Jews suddenly remembered that he said he would on the third day rise from the dead. So let's just take a couple of minutes to reflect on this slide.